The Boatman and the Boy, a novel by Claes Johansen, 2020. The portrayal of the French Foreign Legion in this novel deals exclusively with the narrow historical period and the surroundings in which the story takes place. In no way should it be read as a description of the Legion's conduct in other circumstances, particularly not in current times, where, among other things, it is known for its participation in peacekeeping missions. Catastrophe 1. The first thing I did every morning when I woke was to make sure I was still in one piece. This I did by feeling myself from head to toe down in the sleeping bag behind the mosquito netting. Then I would lie for half an hour and wait for the signal to get up. I stared into the corner of the tent roof. Insects of many shapes and sizes crawled there on top of each other. Did they know they were upside down? I suppose they did in some way, but that couldn't explain their behaviour. Their frantic activities served no purpose unless they were eating one another or sucking each other's blood. In these surroundings, both possibilities seem more than likely. I folded my hands behind my head and listened to the five other men in the tent. I heard their breathing and snoring, smelled their metallic, masculine smells. From the wakening jungle outside came a worryingly unfamiliar multitude of sounds, while a single-engined reconnaissance plane flew low over the camp. Around here, I was Stefan Raoul, and as such, I took a series of deep breaths. The effect was as intended. The jittery sensation left my limbs. The tension in my jaw and forehead loosened. I wondered why I always felt this way when I woke. Had I dreamed more terrible dreams than those I could remember? That would be hard to imagine. I wondered if it might be my breathing. It was too shallow when I slept. I knew that, and my body reacted to it. Perhaps I should include it in my evening prayer. Lord, help me improve my nocturnal breathing. My body was a machine. It couldn't work without the right fuel and plenty of it. Couldn't serve its purpose. I released my hands from each other, rubbed my forehead, ran my fingers through my hair. Outside, the NCOs now strolled from tent to tent. They kicked at the poles and plucked the guy ropes like strings on a musical instrument. Get up and get out, you stinking piles of merde. There was intense aggression behind their hushed voices. We left the camp in the clearing and moved through the landscape. Two long lines of dull green ghosts. The sun was still behind the mountains on the eastern side of the valley, several kilometres away. The clouds above them glowed around the edges. We marched through the piercing dawn, one column on each side of the road. Occasionally, lorries passed by through the dust in the middle of the track, covered in red-brown dirt, their backs jerking from side to side like waddling ducks. I was somewhere mid-file, on the right-hand side of the track, dragging my feet like everyone else. It felt as if my head was hanging loosely on my shoulders. The untightened chin strap on my helmet swung from side to side. My skin was already moist from perspiration, and soon dark patches would emerge on my tunic and trousers. In front of me, the back of someone's neck, a narrow strip of sun-scorched skin between a shirt collar and the brim of a steel helmet. Behind me, the silent column of French Foreign Legionnaires, rocking along. We reached the main road. It was overcrowded despite the early hour and had probably been all night. No efforts were ever made to keep us informed of how the war was going, but everyone knew what was happening here. This was the French army's main headache at the moment. The big retreat from Caubang to Langson. The route Colonial 4 was so dense with panic-stricken people, they practically crawled on top of each other. There were lorries and bicycles and bullock carts, water buffaloes loaded with household goods, local men and women, children and old people. There were policemen trying to uphold an air of authority, French officials and their wives and children in civilian cars, suitcases tied on the roof. And a little further up the road...